we'll go ahead and get started. Please raise your hand. Neil, go ahead.
Beth, you didn't get the win, but did you get what you wanted from tonight's game? It seemed like there were some excellent performances by Simi and a few others.
Yeah, I think there was some things I had to do tonight, irrespective of how the game was going. I think, you know, Olympic Games, maybe some partnerships and things wouldn't be out there, but, you know, I had to do what I had to do. I think some players have really come forward either in the last 6 to 9 months, or you could argue in the last couple of games. So, am I clear? No way. but what I would say is some players have definitely put their best foot forward. I've just said to the group in the locker room, they made my life so, so difficult, and that's credit to them. They've handled themselves with real class in a time when it's difficult, right? We're a team and we're together, but there is an element of they've put themselves to the side and just tried to do what the right thing to do is in this camp. But I can't lie, it's, I think everyone in this room, if you had an 18, it might look very different from every single person. So it's difficult, but it's a good problem to have, because round the corner you've got a World Cup, but then you've got a 2027 World Cup, and that's going to make an exciting time too.
Shireen, then John.
Bev, some of the calls by the officials could be labeled as questionable or not happening. How did you manage that with the players? Because there was some tension or frustration mounting.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can't control that. And I think the worst thing as a coach, I think you can do is get wrapped up in it. We, you know, we've come across that in the past. We'll come up against it in the future. I think it's a difficult job being a referee. But I do think we use that moment to focus on restarts, win the next restart. I think it's something we've put attention on because, you know, all around the world, in lots of competitions, week in, week out, decisions are made. Was there some poor sort of challenges and things? Absolutely, there was. But ultimately, my job was just to try and refocus the group and move them on.
Shalina talked about needing to clean up, being able to finish up opponents off.
Yeah.
Is that a fair criticism? Does the team sort of still lack that little bit of ruthlessness in the final third?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what you've seen up until this window is some partnerships and lineups and things that I thought where we look more fluid. Obviously, I haven't been able to do that across two games, and I think that probably showed. I think that same fluidity and understanding of players all on the same pitch at the same time, I think that's something I have to go towards to go into Paris. But in this window, I just didn't have that luxury. You know, if this was an Olympic game today or Olympic game a couple of days ago, I think what you might have seen is some different things. But yeah, that is fair. I think you look at the game the other night, the first 20 minutes, we really had them and could have had them. But, you know, I also know that, you know, tournaments are won in being hard team to beat, and I said it to them in there. In 2021, we set a program record of 12 games unbeaten. We've matched that again, and you know what that year looked like for us. And if we can go in being a very difficult team to beat, when you don't concede a lot, you don't have to score a lot. And I do think we look way more dangerous than we did then. I think now it's just about, instead of trying to pick an 18, it's about trying to pick an 11. Once I've got over that hurdle, and I think what you've seen in recent tournaments, that when that sort of partnerships and 11 can be together, I think we can be really good.
Yeah.
Bev, you almost have an impossible task on your hand now, narrowing this team down to 18. Maybe can you take us through the decision-making or some of the difficulties you'll be facing? And like an even bigger picture, is 18 enough for a tournament squad?
Yeah. No, I think that the numbers, you know, there's been a push, I know, behind the scenes to try and get that to a bigger squad. I think the reality of the women's game and the amount of injuries that's been, in my opinion, it should be a bigger squad. And even just building for World Cups, you know, when there's a World Cup squad, you can build for the tournament around the corner. You look at Simi, didn't hardly play in a World Cup and is really coming to fruition now. And that's the investment in young players that you do with a bigger squad. But yeah, I think absolutely it should be bigger. But the thought process for me is around getting the balance right. It's getting about, you know, the right type of player in the system that we play. And then how many of those are great at finishing games? How many of them can run all day in a two-day turnaround tournament? So it's a balancing act, and how many of them can play in multiple positions? Because I think where you've got multiple position players, it buys you an extra player in some ways. And then I think the real complexity is the juggling of multiple return to plays and things that just we've been hit with, and that's also a challenge. And that's going to be the hard calls that I have to make as late as I can. And I promise I will wait as late as I can, because I think, yeah, in order to get the best squad, that's going to have to be the case. But knowing that in 18 players, I can't carry a whole load of players that, you know, can't last or are on limited minutes and things, that's going to be the art.
Miriam, then Har.
After the World Cup, you talked about how all focus now goes into the stretch of games before the Olympics. Now that stretch is kind of wrapped up. When you look back at it, what are you most proud of yourself, as well as the performances and the team that you have seen across?
I think we lost our way, right? We lost our way, had an unbelievable 2021, arguably 2022 of some really good runs. And for whatever reasons, I think we know then we lost our way, and I lost my way, I would say, in terms of my values and principles and being able to see the woods for the trees. And the proud thing for me is when you stood on the sideline, I think you see things in these players that, listen, we might win, we might lose, but there's values out there of never say die, being a good teammate, respect, humility, working harder than any other team. These are all things that are in the DNA of this squad that wasn't just now. Christine Sinclair, Sophie Schmidt, there's a whole generation before, Diana Matheson, who've put that into this team that we absolutely can't lose. But I think the biggest thing is we played it safe. I played it safe, you could say, in that 2023 year where there was a lot of clutter, and maybe that was a safe thing to do to make the environment feel that way and in what was going on. But I think right now we're not doing that, and it gets us places, and I think that's what we've really gone after.
When you get the balance, the juggling, the restriction, and the limits on players off, how do you then get the ruthlessness you want to see in your players? There's another window in just over a month, so how does that all blend together? Is there enough time?
Yeah. I think, listen, I mean, the amount of rotations in this camp in 11v11 training sessions to see people, and one team's Mexico, one team's Canada, and then you're switching and then you're changing players. I think with 18 players plus four alternates, them rotations don't happen, right? You've got your players, you work with them, you put the best combinations together based on the opponent that you've got, and you're not thinking about what you've got to do, which is ultimately pick that 18. So for me, yes, there is enough time because the squad is narrowed down and I'm picking a team with a very clear identity. I think over the last 9 months, maybe less, I know if I play a certain type of opposition, which midfielders are needed, which winger and wing back works well together. I think you've seen a very strong right side in previous windows where they've had time to gel together. The left side's had a lot of injuries, right? Wingers or full backs, and that's, you know, looked a bit better today, I thought, that left side in terms of goal threat. So, yeah, I think time, partnerships, being really, really specific and not worrying about seeing players and rotating people in and out. I think that's probably a reflection of where we've got in these two games.
Megan?
Bev, obviously a lot of talk about the difficult decisions ahead. Just how do you prepare and how do you handle for those difficult conversations that you will have with some of your players?
I think I've always had this sort of philosophy of just being honest. I think, I had a good conversation actually with Jordan in this camp of the trauma of Tokyo, right, in terms of I made some big calls, Sophie Schmidt, Jordan Heitema, and you look at the progress that she's made off the back of a difficult decision. I would like to think that any player that I do have to make that dreaded call to, you know, I'm not saying it's never a shock, but I've tried to be honest, open, where people sit without being clear. If I'm not clear, I obviously am not communicating that. But I think for me, they know I care about them as people. I think that is clear. They know their teammates care about them as people. And ultimately, there's a group of players who are world-class that are going to miss out. And I think all I can do is be honest as to the reasons why. And sometimes that is out of their control, unfortunately. Sometimes, I've said this before, it might not be the very best 18 players. It might be the very best squad and team to get the best out of this team to go and win, and ultimately that's the challenge that you have, and we're going to have to look people in the eye and have that conversation.
John? Bev, you, sorry, how is Jordan after taking that really cheap foul?
Yeah.
You had an unobstructed view of it. I mean, mm-hmm. Are you surprised that Karen Moon wasn't sent off?
Yeah, I mean, that's the bit you want to protect your players, right, from dangerous, and that was dangerous. And I think what worried me is that it was looked to be the same injury that Jordan, to be fair to her, we probably didn't expect to see her this window, and I think that's credit to the work she's done between windows. I think she's fine. I hope she's fine, but yeah, she seemed to carry on. And but yeah, I think, again, I'll speak to Jordan, because the injury she sustained to be able to come in this camp and do what she did, that's someone who's determined to make sure that this time she's in the 18. And I think that's what, they're the lessons in setbacks that you get, and whoever gets them setbacks this window, they'll be better for it, right, ready for a 2027 cycle.
Raheem?
About Sheila Zdorsky, her 100th game, she looked pretty impressive and also got an assist. What does Sheila Zdorsky mean for the Canadian women's national?
Yeah, I think Shalina, first and foremost, incredible human being. I think selfless, and, you know, she's had a challenging sense of, like, a starting lineup spot hasn't necessarily been there for her in a lot of games, but she has had some really good minutes. And when she has stepped in, she's done incredibly well for us, scored goals and kept some clean sheets. I think what Shalina means, she brings, like, a real with the ball, left-footed centre-back that gives you a different feeling to a team. But yeah, I think a team-first player, really good values, great human being, always smiling, and I think, you know, they're the sorts of players that you want on your team.
At the back, and then back to Neil.
Yeah, Bev, how's the mental preparation for you as the coach going in as either the defending champion or going to win? What was that?
Yeah, I think we're going under the radar, and I quite like it that way, to be honest with you. I think I'm focused on the process, on the things that we need to get better at each game. I think one thing, in this game we came in, we knew we let them too much in the flanks, you know, and that first half group, I thought we did a really good job of that. So we've got learnings in every game that we're just plugging away at to make us better and better and better. I think I'm absolutely just focused on the process, and I have some incredible learnings in my young career now that I need to continue to apply. And when those tough decisions come, or you have to go with your gut, I think the bravery to do it, I think I learned that the hard way in the last sort of 12 months, and it was my X factor in Tokyo. So there's some learnings that I think I need to carry forward with me. And I've got an incredible staff that, you know, support me every single day, not just in camp, but these staff are working 80-hour weeks and planning probably 3 camps to go into an Olympics. And, you know, it's been a mad push from the World Cup to get to this point. It's taken a lot of hard work, and, you know, you can't do what you do without an incredible group of staff around you.
Bev, can you share any details once you've named the team? When will the team go to Europe? Mm-hmm. What's planned for that July window? We've mm-hmm. heard a closed-door game, but
yeah.
I think you said you wanted to play as much.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I internally have committed to the 30th of June to name the squad by then the latest. And to be honest, a few days later, the squad leaves, so that's difficult. I think we obviously have some players in NWSL, which will be great, and then we've got some out-of-season players that we're working in hubs, call them hubs within Canada, to get them. They're going to have a bit of a break now because, as you know, the calendar in the women's game has gone crazy, and people need to have that breather before we push again. And then we'll be going into Europe, and we'll have 2 games. Still confirming around, it's one of those broadcasts, is one of those behind closed doors. But we do have 2 games lined up in a preparation camp before we go into St. Etienne for our opening game.
And you'll be in Spain?
Yes, that's, yeah, without telling the world that, but yes, we will.
Yes.
The World Cup field is now 32 teams. The Olympic competition is still 8 teams. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see a world where that is expanded in time for women?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, listen, the talent's there. I think we learnt that in the World Cup. And the reality is you look at the groups and you look at the draw and who you're going to get in a quarterfinal, a semi-final, and that is like, in many ways, a World Cup final because of the number of teams and the caliber of teams at this Olympics. So yeah, I think the talent's there. The game has grown such a, you know, a big way in terms of being able to do that. And I think, as you've seen, any team in the top 30 is a difficult team to beat.
Robin?
Yeah, thank you. So we had the Mexican coach was here before, and so they've had a league in their own country. I think it's had about an 8-year head start on what we're going to have starting next year. And he says that like 85% of the current team has come through that,
yes,
especially, of course, because they were young. What are you looking forward to that, I guess, the player pool will get even larger, they'll have a place to play? You know, how about that?
Yeah, listen, I can't wait. I'm super, super excited. The investors, the fans, the hard work behind the scenes from Diana Matheson and her crew to bring this to fruition. I think, you know, you land back with your gold medal in 2021, and if there's one thing you want in place, it's that league. Because I think, you know, we have a lot of... You look at... I mean, I'll use Simi because it was referenced in this room. You look at those young players, they you know, Simi and Jade Rose, who I'll talk was unbelievable again tonight, is in NCAA in a 3-month season, and that's what they're producing. So imagine where our talent could be if they played week in, week out in that league. We have centres across the country, NDC centres. Our best kids now can go into these leagues. And yeah, it's only going to help us. It's a big gap that we've got, and I'm so, so excited because it's going to be in place for 2027, where the roster size is bigger and you can invest in the future.
Yeah. What does it mean to the team to be able to celebrate their Pride night here with a home game?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen, right? I think the players and what they're doing, even with the shirts, I think it's something that's close to our hearts. In terms of, like, our fans, our country is diverse, it's inclusive, and that's exactly what this team is. I think anybody, staff or players who step in our environment, they have the freedom to be who they are, and I think that's really important for young people, for our fans, for the country to see and feel that, because I think we are role models, we're inspiration to young people, and I think, you know, for anybody to just be who they need to be, I think that's really, really important for us.
We're going to move to Zoom. Alexander, please go ahead.
Hey, Ben. You kind of mentioned her a bit earlier, but Simi's performance today in midfield, the way she just stepped in, was so confident in possession. What do you make of the way she kind of just knocked on the door of the squad the last few months, and that privilege of having youngsters like herself, Jay, you mentioned as well, who are pushing to make the Olympic squad?
Yeah, I think what you've seen in training... If I just use those two players, in the game today, they do every day in training. I think it's not new to us. It might be new to people on the outside, but I think that's what we see and get from them in training. So I think as a coach, you've seen me do it. They've played a lot of minutes. They've had starts against some of the best teams in the world. And yeah, I thought Simi and Jade were both outstanding tonight. And again, they're NCAA kids, and only imagine when they are professionals, they might have a few offers on the table when they do get out of college, and you know, will have their choice, I'd imagine, of where they can go. So yeah, I thought Simi and Jade were both outstanding.
Victor?
Hi, Beverly. This is Victor Valdez from Mexico, from Tertulia del Deporte. My question, what is your opinion about each of the rivals you will face in Paris 2024, France, Colombia, New Zealand? And another one, can you give a message to all the followers of this media called Tertulia del Deporte? Thank you.
Yeah, well, obviously we've been doing a lot of scouting before this window, and as a coach, I was caught between wanting to understand and how I'm going to beat my opponents that I've got, and then trying to get ready for this camp and in how I beat Mexico. But I think, you know, like New Zealand, if you see and know them, they're a hard team to beat. I think that a decent World Cup for their record, and Canada have had some difficult history games against New Zealand. You remember home World Cup game. I think it was delayed a lot by thunder and lightning, if I remember it well. But yeah, there's always been that rivalry there. France, top side. I think full of Champions League and very, very experienced players, very good. We're going to have to be at our very best to compete with that side. And I think they played today, actually, and England beat them. They beat England in the last game. And then Colombia, I think that they've got that element of surprise. They've got Caicedo, they've got some top, top teams, and that's going to be a very difficult game. If I think about Tokyo, you know, we got our points on the board in that third game. We could get some fresh legs in. That's the dream. But the reality is, three difficult games in their own right, right? And New Zealand's going to be a hard team to break down. They're going to make it difficult for us. France, how do you nullify them whilst keeping your own identity? And then Colombia, you can't switch off. If I look what happened today and the Mexico goal, we got too carried away, too expansive, and they pounced on us and scored. So it was a great lesson for us today, heading into the likes of a Colombia opponent.
Final question, we'll go to Andrew.
Hello, Bev. Yes, I just want to ask you, you talked about the Gijas goal, with that terrific header, and her getting on the score sheet for the first time in a while. And what's any plan for the Euros now in this gap for any of the Euro players, if they would be staying with you, Canada, getting rest?
Yeah, I said to Kadisha actually today in the locker room before we went out, I've never seen Kadisha not play unbelievable this BMO, and then she goes and scores. Listen, I think Kadisha, because she's so laid back in our environment, you know, she can fly under the radar. Off the pitch, she's laid back, but on that pitch, she's not laid back. She is a world-class player. She's got that many Champions League medals because of that. It was really, really good to see her score in our hometown. European players, like I said, they'll get some time off, and then we'll start with individual training hubs happening around the country. We're trying to balance, right, the whole player and players who haven't been with their family all year, and so we're trying to facilitate things in their hometown so that they can balance that, the mental recovery whilst ramping up for an Olympic Games. I think the easy thing to do would just to be get them in for another camp. But what I do know is in many ways the freshest team can win this, and trying to balance the whole player and not burn them out is the art of getting them ready for this Olympics.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for
Thanks, everyone, for your support. Thank you. Thanks.